Chicago's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB. With 50,000 watches power, we're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, out to the desert. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a marathon runner and very accomplished. He's a family office advisor and expert and advises many high net worth families. And he is a core member of the Strategic Trusted Advisors Roundtable. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you on this warm and toasty night?
I'm doing great. I'm sitting here in air conditioning, which is nice because it was hot today.
It was. And today you did a little walk.
I ran the Independence 5K. And of course, our good friend Carol LeBeau is the spokesperson for that event. That's her event. And she was out there and she's looking great. I think she walked the entire 3.1 and she's looking good. You know, she had some health issues.
Right.
But she's bounced back really, really nicely and looking really good and doing, I think, pretty well.
And she's a good old friend of mine and had some nice things to say, correct?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Nice things to say about me, not you.
I'm going to coax it out of you on the air.
No.
But anyway, she's a great friend.
Her precise words were Joe Who.
I was at a retirement party and I was there when she started. Actually, I worked over there when she started as a weekend anchor and working up at Sky 10 for many years.
Yeah, so good to see that she's doing really well. Yeah. And the other good news was I was the Masters, the 55 and over champion. I was the fastest runner of everybody 55 and over.
Wow.
It's always nice when you finish a race and the only people who beat you are younger than you. So
that is great. Congratulations on that.
You know, I got to try to keep up with all the medals that my wife win.
Yeah. Hey, also, our friends over at Belmont Park, I know that you work, you know these gentlemen, right,
who are taking
over the property.
Yeah.
There's going to be a 4th of July concert down there at the Wave House featuring Barrington Levy. I hope I'm saying that's right. And we have two tickets to give away. So whoever contacts us through our website, iymoney.com, just shoot us an email and we'll make sure we get two free tickets to that concert. It's going to be midday and the 4th of July at Belmont Park. It should be terrific. So, hey, I am still basking in the glow of the great show last week, Richard. Wasn't that terrific, broadcasting from the estate of Bill and Michelle Lirak?
That was fun, but one complaint. We went on air exactly at the same time that they started having dinner, so I was hungry the whole time.
Well, I stuck around, and I was snatching stuff off trays, so it worked out just well.
Oh, good.
Well,
okay. No, that was a blast. I think that we had, what, 9 guests on? That was a new world's record.
Yeah, well, I think eight, and Sam was supposed to be
on. Oh, that's right. Sam, the cooking guy, didn't quite make it.
But we gave him a plug, so we'll
give him, eight technically.
We'll call him 8.5, I guess. Okay. So, but anyway, I know tonight we are supposed to be live from the Lavi, but we had some technical snafus, and we're going to actually be live at the Lavi next week. But tonight's show is really all about the Lavi, so it's live with the Lavi. Wouldn't you say that's more accurate?
Well, it's accurate. Yeah, I said it's live from the Lavi in Kearny Mesa.
Anyway, we're honored to have some pretty special guests tonight, Richard, wouldn't you say?
We've got two.
Yes. Well, let me.
Why don't you do the introductions?
Well, because we have the ninth general manager or managing director.
I should say the ninth,
because the hotel's only been around 9 decades, in 1925, I believe. We'll get this all verified from the authority in a moment. But anyway, he's been at several other properties in town as in the executive role, and his name is Mark DiBella. So, Mark, good evening. How are you tonight?
Oh, my gosh, I'm great. Thanks for having me tonight.
We're going to get into your history in a moment. And also, we have in studio, he's been on the show before, and his dad did all the art at the La Valencia, and he's an artist and an accomplished artist in his own right, and his name is Harrison Howard. So, Harrison, how are you tonight?
I'm just fine. Pleasure to be here, Joe.
Yeah. As soon as we get your mic on, it'll be a pleasure to be here. It's not your fault.
Justin, thank you for that reminder.
Great to see you both again. But anyway, let's start with Mark. The La Valencia is going through a renaissance and a reemergence. It's just fantastic. But I'd like to get into Mark's bio a little bit first, just to establish his great track record and history and experience and expertise. So, Mark, why don't you give us a little thumbnail, like, you know, where you were born, educated, and, you know, up to present.
Thanks. Thanks very much, Shaw. I was remarking this week is kind of special for me. I'm 23 years in San Diego. My dad was in the military, so we moved out here in 1969. when he retired. We had moved 21 times in 27 years.
Wow.
Mom was really tired of dragging us around. I don't blame her. But I started my hotel career up in Orange County, and it was in 1990 that I finally decided I was going to branch out and come south, you know, whopping 60 miles from San Clemente down to La Jolla at the time to open the Sheraton Grand Torrey Pines, which is funny now because that hotel is a Hilton, a beautiful property. But my first night at that hotel, my new team there, and I was in convention services, said, let's go out for a drink. And guess where we went?
La Valencia.
Imagine that. You, Richard, you win. Ding, ding, ding.
Right.
We should win.
The Whaling Bar.
We actually had drinks at La Sala. We ended up at the Whaling Bar later on, but it's kind of remarkable for me 23 years later that I'm running the place. So I've kind of come full circle in San Diego, and I think you were mentioning earlier about having a long tenure in the city. My plan back 23 years ago was to move on after 2 or 3 years to another big city. But I'm in San Diego, and, and I look around the view and go, oh my gosh, who's...
Well, it's hard to leave here.
Who wouldn't want to leave?
Look at all the military people, you know, they came here in the war, and they want, you know, they just didn't want to leave. So they all started businesses and whatnot. So,
but I've been thrilled to end up at some great places from the Sheraton. I went over to L'Auberge Del Mar at a time when Bel Air Hotels was the management company, and Jim Watkins, the owner there, a marvelous guy, he and Carol, and gave me a little slice of small boutique luxury hotels and certainly upscale cities. And Del Mar was a fun city work, especially racetrack season. I didn't win any money, but it was a great, great time to be there. And then I ended up downtown for 18 years. I came downtown to have lunch with a friend of mine at what I thought was the Omni, and didn't realize it had changed flags to become the DoubleTree. Of course, now it's the Westin. It takes a, you know, you have to put
this
those,
is all Horton Plaza. You know, right?
All at Horton Plaza. Yeah. I think they put those signs up with sticky tape sometimes.
Yeah.
But I stayed there for about 4 years, through some a great period during the RNC. Again, I was at Convention Services, so got to do some impressive stuff during the RNC. We had quite a contingent when Newt Gingrich was staying there. And DoubleTree did their big general managers conference at the hotel. And then I got coaxed over to the Wyndham, which was formerly the Pan Pacific. beautiful green hotel. I've gone from green to pink, apparently. With
that's the one with the neon green stripe around the top?
Neon green, okay. That Sandy Shapery had built.
And,
Wyndham, great company, very dynamic, and that was their flagship hotel at the time. And stayed with Wyndham for a number of years. They started acquiring hotels in San Diego. They bought the U.S. Grant at one point, and I was director of sales at the time. And my boss came in my office and said, hey, we just bought the old hotel down the street, and we're going to have you run them both as director of sales. So that was a dynamic opportunity to run a historic property and a very contemporary hotel in terms of sales. And Wyndham didn't have enough money to do renovations at the Grant, so they put it up on the market after about a year and a half. And in walked Sequan, relatively flush with money and a great opportunity to do a much-needed renovation at the time. So I stayed on with Sequan and ultimately with the Grant for about 7 years. So I like to say I stayed on the Grant with two ownership changes, four management changes, and through a renovation that started out to be 4 months and $12 million, and ultimately was 20 months and $56 million.
Oh my God.
Missed it by that much.
Yeah,
huh?
just a tad.
That is a lot of jackpots.
Yeah, I have to say that is when I honed my sales skills the best, because as director of sales and marketing, I'm selling and moving groups and and selling them and having them come back, and God bless them all, they trusted that we would eventually open the hotel. But it was just a dynamic opportunity to reposition an amazing property. And a rare opportunity to be in a property while it's closed and learn all about it. Really had my own archaeological dig inside the hotel.
A lot of history of the Grant Grill. I mean, a very historical place for breakfast meetings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Met the ladies that stormed the Grant Grill. You know, we did a lot to ensure that the legacy of what happened there remained true and brought out more stories that people didn't know about. You know, they're not all glamorous. Some of them are very gritty about historic hotels, but I think that's marvelous. It's what gets you there, gets you on the map. So the grant was a wonderful opportunity. It had a spectacular grand reopening of the hotel, and it was flagged under the luxury collection with Starwood. And my goal was to put it on an international map, and it really it got there pretty fast with the help of a great PR firm. And then I took a little detour from luxury to lifestyle hotels with a call from Kimpton's Hotel, the Solamar, down in the Gaslamp Quarter. And I will tell you, it was at a time in my life that I was, the grant was awesome, kind of did me in emotionally and physically. It's a big property and very overwhelming in terms of demands of a hotel of that stature. So I go to this great little boutique hotel in the Gaslamp under Kimpton, and I learned a tremendous amount about lifestyle hotels.
Right near the Petco Park, right?
Right around the corner, you know. So it's a nightclub hotel. It's it is very diversified in terms of what they offer in experience, and Kimpton's such a dynamic company in terms of programs like Pet Friendly and LGBT, and I'm telling you, they branch out, and you know, Wine Hour, and it was a great way for me to look at running properties based on the experience, not just the atmosphere. The grant was, you know, ripe with atmosphere and great background, but Solamar and Kimpton properties, where I became general manager, allowed me this way to look at a hotel and look guest demographics and sort of craft an experience based on the experience, not just the FF&E, the, you know, fixtures, furniture, and equipment. And loved that property. I was here for almost 5 years.
And they also own the Hotel La Jolla, which was in the summer house.
So they've branched out in San Diego. They've since bought it's now the Palomar. It used to be the Say. And they now have management to the Hotel La Jolla. So a couple of my friends are over at Hotel La Jolla. So it's and they have a great footprint in San Diego as a boutique property. But there I was minding my own business at Solamar, and the phone rings one day last May. And I get a call from a gentleman, marvelous gentleman, who said he and his company had just bought a hotel in La Jolla. And I had heard about the sale. And I said, oh, Is it pink? and he said, oh, you've heard of La Valencia? I said, who hasn't heard of La Valencia?
Oh,
I said, yes, I've heard of it. And it is in fact pink. And he asked if we could have lunch and talk about my background, primarily because probably my experience at the Grant and having done a renovation that helped it, the repositioning of the Grant. And we had lunch about, I don't know, 6 or 7 times. Ash is Ronnie, very dynamic. His company is here based in San Diego, Pacifica Companies. They have a hotel division with 30-plus properties. And he had just recently bought La Valencia for a lot of wonderful reasons. He lives across the cove. He's been looking at it for 30 years, he said, and always hoped, you know, maybe someday in his life, in his portfolio, he could acquire the hotel, and timing is everything. And he was able to get the property and was looking for, you know, a team that could go in there and sort of shake things up. And we talked. And we talked and we talked and we talked. And finally, after one lunch, I said, hey, lunch is kind of fun. Unless we're dating, where are we going with this?
let's hold on to that suspense and take a little break right now. We'll come right back and get on with more of the story. It's Your Money and Your Life after this. Hang on. We are back with Mark DiBella, Managing Director or GM. Which is it, Mark? Managing Director or GM?
It says Managing Director, but nine times out of ten, it's GM.
Well, I'm going to go by what the card says. And we're back with also Harrison Howard, whose dad did all the art there, and an artist. When we get to the art phase of our program, we're going to bring in Harrison a little bit more. But anyway, you were having lunches with Ash, and then tell us about the awards that you had achieved. I'm sure that got his attention as well.
The Grant, again, a pivotal property for me in terms of sales and marketing and recognizing what public relations can do to get a hotel on a global map. And awesome PR firm. I've actually hired them at La Valencia, the Marshall Plan, and Kim Marshall at my beck and call when I would say things like, enter us in this and enter us in that. And one of the things in World Hospitality Magazine, I said, here's an opportunity to enter us in best hotel design in that specific year, which is 2007. And Kim was great because Kim would generally look at me and say, oh, okay, Mark, sure. you know, 2006 and 7, they're building mile-high hotels in Dubai and throwing $1 million a key almost, it seemed like, in them. But, so we entered, and we were a finalist. Actually, two hotels in Dubai, our hotel, and I can't remember the third one. I think it was in Tahiti. And I decided at the last minute to go to Vegas for the awards show. Took the two designers from the grant, and we were sitting at the table. Yves Clément was our artist at the time. He did the artwork for the grant, and Kim always said later on, Mark, you're going to have to practice your applause, polite applause for when the other winner goes up. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, they're going through the finalist. At the very end, the winner is the U.S. grant. And I definitely yelled out a big bellow and almost fell out of my chair. And people at the table next to me were saying, you won. You have to go up and get the award, which we did. A huge, giant, kind of a monstrosity award. But I got back to the table. I called Kim and Chairman Tucker and said, we won. And I think Kim fell out of her seat saying, we did. but, you know, that kind of recognition really pays off in terms of what you can do to put your hotel on the map, ambiance and prestige. So that was fun. Grant won a lot of awards. Going over to Solamar gave us an opportunity to win more of the lifestyle awards. Again, big pet-friendly company. So we took being pet-friendly to a new level. We ended up being a top 10 pet-friendly hotels on TripAdvisor in 2010. And the hotel got a silver certificate for our eco-friendly green program. A lot of hotels say they practice green, but we took that to an extreme. I think one of the best things we implemented was a cleaning program for our guest rooms using all water. It was a system with an almost like an ionator. You electronically charge the water. Not only did our hotel win an award, but our cleaning scores went up, and we cleaned all the guest rooms with nothing but water and this ionator. It was a great program. So I believe those things might have intrigued Ash. Hopefully they did, and we talked a lot.
The health spa for the chihuahuas and all that. Yeah. Get them a massage for your dog.
My question about pet-friendly hotels is always, does anybody ever bring a pet other than a dog? I'm just curious.
You know what? We had a couple lizards in cages.
Okay.
Birds. Definitely a few cats.
People like their pets.
We had a lady call about her horse. And we were relatively polite.
She wasn't a queen, was she?
Mostly dogs, though. Mostly dogs. On some weekends at Solamar, we would have 30 dogs at that hotel. But it was a good program. We controlled it well. We had a housekeeper with a lot of patience.
I'll tell you.
And a big broom, but anyway.
Yes, indeed.
So then these lunches progressed with Ash and tell us.
Well, he's a marvelous gentleman. I so admire his background. He came to this country and went to UCLA and majored in engineering, electrical engineering. And along the way, started buying some real estate. And ultimately, his company is a real estate investment company, Pacifica Companies. And he has real estate in India, in Central America, the United States. And Ash likes to buy property near or on the water. Mm-hmm. And we talked a lot about that. We really just talked a lot. And it was such a unique opportunity for me to establish a friendship with an individual. I wasn't looking for another job. I wasn't out soliciting that. And we just struck up a great friendship. But after a few lunches, I did finally say, where are we going with this? And he said, well, I'm hoping you'll think of coming to work for me at La Valencia. I said, well, you have to offer me the job. his nephew runs the hotel division and had a great opportunity to go meet with the team at the corporate office, which is in downtown San Diego. They're right on Hancock in the Mission Brewery building. Mm-hmm. They own that building.
Mm-hmm.
And just really dynamic group of people. And La Valencia just presented such a unique opportunity for us as a company, for me personally. They run some great hotels that are of nothing like La Valencia. Obviously, it's unique among itself. And it appears as though my background with lifestyle hotels, renovation of historic hotels, knowing the San Diego market, I'd like to think all that was enough to say I'm the guy that's going to be able to do the next thing with La Valencia. And when I say that, with all due respect to the hotel, it's got such marvelous history.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to make sure that that is respected along the way.
It's a museum on the ocean, isn't it?
And that's such an intrinsic term because what I learned at the Grant in repositionings and renovations is you can fall quickly into becoming a museum piece mm-hmm. and being obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
And renovations and renaissance of hotels are about making them relevant.
Well, you have to update your exhibits.
La Jolla is having a similar issue in terms of changing demographics and how people are traveling is changing.
So
what you're describing for La Vie isn't really any different than what you're describing for the entire town of La Jolla.
And I've gotten to know the city again in its renaissance from 23 years ago when I was having drinks there, when it was a very prestigious city, and it's had its roller coaster rides too, and mm-hmm. just a few too many t-shirt shops in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that is changing, and it's great to talk to the local merchants and the business association, who all very much look up to La Valencia. They look to us to say, what are you doing next, mm-hmm. and where are you taking it? And
mm-hmm.
And aside from our business plan at the hotel, to make sure that we place ourselves on a broader international map, and that we make sure that the renovation outfits it with all the expectations of what an international and local traveler want of a luxury hotel, are respective of what La Jolla needs in mm-hmm. terms of an icon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we joke about the pink part, but it is an icon in the city, and it's important that it remains and continues to climb on a relevance level. So, you know, the biggest changes right now are really in terms of the property. It's easy to say we're doing guest room renovations. That's a no-brainer. It's going to be the food and beverage.
Yeah.
That's the next step.
But, gents, we got to take a break right there. Hang on. I'll be right back with more Richard Man Your Life, and we'll get into the changes of the La Vie and more stuff. Hang on. Well, we're back with the second half of It's Your Money, Your Life. Over to Richard to thank all of our terrific sponsors.
Thanks, sponsors. And in no particular order.
It's like Rowan and Martin.
Exactly.
How far back do we go anyway? About that far.
About that far. UBS with Mr. Michael Coranta and Mr. Drew Freitas, actually just down the street in La Jolla from La Valencia, on the same side of the street.
I could see their logo from the La Vie's Galleria room there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then just across the street from La Vie, we've got Regents Bank, Mr. Sean Puckett and Steve Sefton. If somebody wants to see something really cool, Sean Puckett just got done surfing in the Maldives. Check out the iymoney.com website and look at some of these waves that are about twice as tall as Sean. Unbelievable surfing pictures that we tossed up on the website for our surfing banker. He's really good at it, too. Our favorite CPAs on the planet, Plato Epic, Don Epic, and Paul Polito. Cost Segregation Initiatives, Joel Grushkin, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Vesta State Planning Attorney of Town, Mr. Rich Gaines with Family Legacy Legal. Our CFO service, our CFO expert, Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics. And last but not least, Mr. Carl Sheeler with Business Valuations Limited, helping closely held and successful businesses increase their value. And Joe, how can our listeners find out about our tremendous sponsors?
Well, just fire up your PC or smartphone or whatever you use and get on iymoney.com. Click on the sponsors tab and all their great information is right there. Their bios, their phone numbers, everything.
And their surf pictures.
And their surf pictures. And not only are they great professionals in their respective fields, but they're good friends of Richard. And we didn't just find these people, you know, on the yellow pages, right, Richard?
They're the best of the best.
That's right. You've known them all.
They are the dream team.
How many years is it you've added up all
your... Well, when I add it all together, it's about 120 years, which is actually very depressing to think about.
Of your collective experience.
Be that as
it may. But who's counting?
But who's counting? Hey, I'm an accountant. I'm supposed to count this thing. But so Mark, I bet when you did the renovation of the U.S. Grant, you said never again with a major renovation, and yet here you are at La Vie.
Never, never. I guess I'm a glutton for punishment.
Never say never.
Yeah, that is so true.
So what you guys are doing at La Valencia is significant, but the difference is you mentioned the Grant was closed. I know La Valencia is definitely not closed while the renovation's going on.
Yeah, I guess it had occurred to me when I took the job that it was definitely going to be a remarkably different process to do a hotel renovation while you're fully open. But happy to say we finished all the guest rooms last March, the first time in about 30 years that the entire contingent of guest rooms have all been done at the same time.
112, right?
112. So, thank you very much.
They are spectacular. I saw the suite on the media tour, and boy, you know, your patio on the ocean above the park there, and the just a terrific suite, and we even turned on the hockey game on the big TV. And
it's a great place to escape.
Yeah, it was special.
And also daunting compared to the Grand. When we're talking La Valencia, you're talking four different buildings built over the course of over 100 years. The old Cabrillo Hotel from 1909, where we have some suites and guest rooms. The main building in 1926, and then the tower wing in 1928, and then the villas were built in 2000. So each project is its own project. But right now we're working on what I call the facelift, the front entry of the hotel. Had a lovely colonnade that was built in the late 30s that was literally crumbling before us. So we've had to tear that down, and we are building a newer, better one and adding an arbor over the front patio, replicating woodwork that was originally done on the sun deck up on the 10th floor of the 1928 tower, which is where the former Sky Room was born and concluded its long reign after about 50 years. And it will move into its next evolution in the form of two spectacular suites. We have just done some space planning with our architect, and it will actually be two suites that connect to a third suite encompassing about 3,600 square feet on the 10th floor.
Will that be your presidential suite?
With that pesky view that we have up there. So I think the most exciting thing right now, obviously, is the return of Café LaRue.
Mm-hmm.
Café LaRue and its partner, the Whaling Bar, came to fruition in the 40s with some marvelous artwork that really gave those rooms such a great legacy. The Whaling Bar really was its third evolution. It had been renovated three different times, the last time in the late 90s. But lovely to both rooms was that the artwork stayed with it all those times. And when we made the decision to close the Whaling Bar and that name, it wasn't taken lightly, but we looked back at the history of the hotel, and Café LaRue has a marvelous history. In many times, the Café LaRue eclipsed the Whaling Bar in terms of its recognition. And the art of that room is the inspiration for the new design, which is very much reminiscent of the French country scenes and the cityscape scenes that Wing Howard had painted. And I know that Harrison's going to talk a little bit about that. But we looked at the lifestyle that those pictures depicted, which was really very casual European bistro style food. And we decided that's going to be the next evolution. And really the biggest thing that people will see is we've torn down the wall. I talk a little bit like East Berlin. We took down the wall that separated the two rooms, which became a lot more challenging than we thought. And that process in an 85 plus year old building encountered, sagging floors and termite damage and some smoke damage from a fireplace.
Kind of like the White House after FDR got out of there. They had to tear out the entire interior.
You really did. Our contractor, after about 2 weeks of dismantling it, genuinely came to us and said, if you had not closed this room, you would have had some significant issues in terms of safety later on. So timing is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in that stage right now of rebuilding and then building out Café LaRue, and we're very excited about September opening and the reinstallation of the LaRue art. The Whaling mural has been retained. We have it in storage right now, and the intent will be to reinstall that into what we hope to call the Wing Howard Boardroom in another location in the hotel. There's some amazing pieces that were part of that legacy of the hotel. So when we get the front entry reopened and Café LaRue reopened or returning in the fall, our sights are set for the Sky Room renovation. And then eventually, if all goes well and I don't get too tired, we own a 1920 bungalow adjacent to the property on the north side of the property that is three stories tall, about 3,500 square feet. It is coincidentally painted pink.
La Valencia pink, by the way.
And we are right now working with an engineer about our plans to build a spa out of that. And it is a marvelous location just opposite our pool deck and our villas. And we think it will be it will be the crowning achievement, really, for the hotel. I always say to people, once the spa gets built, we do change the name of the hotel. to La Valencia Hotel and Spa. But every time I say that, people get gasped. I'm going to change the name. And really, in a lot of ways, in the rebranding right now, we have changed the name and the logo. Everybody calls it, what do they call that hotel?
Well, it's the La Vie.
We call it the La Vie here.
I kind of like that because some people call me Jovi.
It is absolutely La Vie. And when we redid the logo slightly, we just dropped most of the letters from Valencia on down to a lowercase, and La Vie is what stands out, and that's what everybody calls it.
I like it.
And that's what it should be.
So here's some La Vie trivia. The gold and blue dome tower was utilized as a civil defense lookout during World War II.
Absolutely true.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's amazing stuff.
Hey, how about the Dr. Seuss plaque? Now, there will be some commemoration of, I know the boots are gone and the plaque that
Joe, your precious plaque.
Well, I'll tell you, I think you're going to be surprised and delighted. We have a few things in store for the return of LaRue that will speak very much to the Whaling Bar and those that were there and made it. There's names like Isil that will never be lost, and you will have them again. They will be very profoundly evident in the bar that is being built in the footprint of the Whaling Bar. So although the Whaling Bar name may not hang a shingle out front, you're going to know that legacy is still there.
Oh, that's great.
We're adding a wine vault to that room. People don't know that way down in the lower levels of the main building on the fourth floor, there's a wine vault that holds about $250,000 worth of wine that nobody sees. So we're bringing about 600 of those bottles up to Cafe LaRue that will be showcased in a glass vault. You'll see also on the inside of the lobby. But I think the addition of the arbor over the front patio brings a return to alfresco dining out front with a glass top and space heaters that will make it a little more comfortable because you need to do that these days. So I'm just the steward of that hotel right now. I marvel at the fact that I'm only the ninth managing director. I would like to retire there. But my job is to make sure that it is ready for the next generations that will go there. Season is starting now. Season makes me laugh because when I got there, they said, "Oh my gosh, you know, in July and August, you'll be busy." Well, I'm a marketing sales guy from my background. So the first thing I did was change sort of our marketing. So we're always busy now, which is great. My staff says, "Oh my God, you're busy 12 months out of the year." Busier in July and August, but that's really when a lot of the regulars come back and people that have literally been going there for 30 and 40 years and they rent the same room for the same week year over year and they're returning now. We're excited because they love what we're doing. They like the freshness. They like the nod to legacy of the hotel.
And the notables are still coming.
Absolutely.
I mean, it started with Hollywood in the 30s and it still continues.
Hollywood still arrives at the doorstep. But it's exciting.
Excellent. 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 Well, look, why don't we take a little break?
Yeah, we've got to get Harrison on.
We do. Let's take a break, Justin. We'll come right back with more It's Your Money and Your Life, and Harrison can talk about the art when we return. Hang on. All right, we're riding into the last segment here of It's Your Money and Your Life with Mark DiBella and Harrison Howard. So, Richard, what do you say we get into the art a little bit?
Let's get to Harrison.
Yes.
Harrison was on our show last year. It was a great show. So, Harrison, can you describe briefly how important the work that your father did to the heritage of the hotel? I mean, in your mind, is it also a very successful artist yourself? Just a brief description of how meaningful it really, really is.
Well, his association with the
Valencia has been something that has been, with in my mind, a really important part of his career all as long as I can remember. And although it was the mural work that he did, most of it was earlier in his career, I think it sort of set a foundation for a lot of things that he did in the years that followed. And I think it's also probably at this point the thing that he's the best known for, because it's one of the few examples of his work that's in a public place where a lot of people really see it.
Because he had sold a lot to private collectors, right?
He did, and a lot of his work disappeared into the ownership of families that just held on to the work from generation to generation. And I get a few emails every year from people that are wondering about his work. They might have a painting that belonged to their parents, and they want to know something about it. And the thing is that not very much of his work winds up going to auction or anything. So the Valencia is really a wonderful thing from the standpoint of his legacy, because it's keeping his work out there where people see it.
Can we, Mark was mentioning something about the appraisals of the existing art earlier. Can you enlighten us?
Pleasure to meet Harrison. Before we dismantled the room, we had a long talk, and you were kind enough to write really a biography about your father. And obviously, when we were going to dismantle the room, we sought out a couple appraisers who came in. We were worried about removing the art, how we would get it out, which was no small feat. And it turns out that the four LaRue paintings, the two larger ones, each appraised at $60,000, the smaller ones at $50,000 and $45,000. And the mural itself, which is the first, there's a second one, as you well know of, appraised at just about $40,000, and a challenging piece to remove. I think we talked about the fact that wall and all is how we got that beautiful thing out and in storage to make sure that we can return it to the hotel.
Well, I'm delighted that you were able to do that, and I really seriously doubted whether you were going to be able to. But somehow you managed to get it out. It was, I know how thick that wall is, and it must have weighed an incredible amount. And I'm just thrilled that you were able to save it. But one of the things that I was sort of driving at about my father's work was that just in the last couple of years, I've reflected more about it as more people have contacted me about his paintings. And I've always wanted to do a book about him since he died. It's sort of been something that's been on my mind, and it would be a lot of work to go around and get the right photography to do such a thing. But he did have a very interesting career. He was with as a young man he was with a gallery in New York named Farragill's, and then went to another named Nerdler's, which sadly closed under a sort of a cloud of scandal this last year or so, but it was one of the major galleries in New York for decades. It was a very exceptional gallery, and it was owned by Arm & Hammer for a large part of its lifetime. But before that, it was owned by, it was managed by somebody named Co Kerr, who became a very good friend of my father's. And I think that was actually a very interesting period in the gallery's lifetime, because it had quite a few contemporary artists of very differing kinds of backgrounds, and my father among them. But I mean, everything from Giorgio de Chirico, the Italian painter, to Andrew Wyeth. So it was a very strange mixture of artists.
But let's make sure everybody out there knows that your father's artwork is going to be retained in Cafe LaRue, right? You want to explain that, Mark or Harris? I mean, you're bringing some other art from other places in the hotel into the space, isn't that correct?
Yes, actually, the Cafe LaRue had four original pieces, and the Waiting Bar two. The four original pieces are actually going to be reinstalled in four villas, but replicas. And Harrison, I never really know what to call the second set there. What would you call them?
The second set was really a group of panels that were done to replicate largely the first four that were done for LaRue in the late 40s. And he was commissioned by the hotel in the early 80s to do those four. And once he'd completed them, he took some liberties. They look very much like the originals, but they're, I would say, an artistic reinterpretation. And the hotel at that point, once they received them, decided that they looked a little too new to hang up in the in place of the ones that were already there. And the former ones had by that time a lot of smoke damage, and the paint was crackled, and they had a sort of ambiance to them that a new painting couldn't duplicate.
Anyway, gents, we've got to hold it right there because
we're
running out
of time.
But Mark, thank you so much. Thank you, Harrison.
Gentlemen.
Richard, you have a great week. Next week, we're with the mayor and his fiance at the lobby, live at the lobby. So be there for
that. The phone company shows up on Tuesday.
Absolutely.
Make sure that happens, Mark.
My job.
Anyway, thanks to Justin Hart on the board tonight. Thanks to Dave Sniff, our programming genius, who will probably be at the lobby too. Craig Blank, your account executive. You have a great week, everybody. And we'll see you next week at the La Valencia. Take care now. Good night.